I'm going to read some passages from Venu Mogesh's book, The New Eight Steps to Happiness, on how to prepare for meditation. And in the opening, as like an overview of what preparing for meditation entails, Venu Mogesh gives the analogy of a farmer and how a farmer prepares their soil, prepares the field. Now, the sowing of the seeds, which in this sort of analogy is like meditation, actually trying to generate the specific minds, the specific positive ways of relating to ourselves and others. That's the easy bit. You know, the farmer spends a day or two doing that, maybe once or twice a year, perhaps. That's the easy bit. The real work is in preparing the field and so forth. Anyway, let me read. So Venu Mogesh says, inner realizations do not arise magically from the earth, nor do they fall from the sky. Gaining experience depends upon certain inner conditions, which we can create by engaging in the preliminary practices. Just as a farmer needs to prepare the ground before he plants his crop, so we need to prepare our mind before we can hope to harvest a crop of spiritual realizations. There are many people who are very interested in meditation, but who, not understanding the importance of the preliminary practices, neglect them, and consequently are disappointed when their efforts in meditation do not yield results. They're like a farmer who fails to weed, fertilize, or water his field, yet still expects his crop to flourish. The more conscientiously we practice the preliminaries, the more easily we will gain realizations from our practice of training the mind. So this is such an important point. You know, we are on the cusp, you know, having arrived at this place, having some interest in meditation, having some understanding of it, and some enthusiasm, thinking, I really do want to develop these minds. To then neglect the preparations is such a shame. You know, this is like, you know, the analogy here Venu Mogesh is using is of a farmer tending their soil. Very important. Another analogy we could consider is like an athlete preparing to compete. If they don't warm up, like imagine a sprinter and they haven't limbered up, they haven't warmed up, they haven't got their muscles like flexible and supple and warmed through, and they get to their blocks and they're going to sprint around. They probably won't even make the 100 meters and pull a muscle after 20 yards. Certainly, even if they finish the race, they won't perform nearly to their potential, to their capacity, because they haven't warmed up. Like a pilot in a plane, they don't just push the throttle and get going. They go through a whole set of starter checks, revving all the different bits, getting sure it all works. So then they're confident to take off. In the same way with our meditation, you know, if we just, you know, we've had a busy day and we just sit down and boom, start from cold. Maybe we get, you know, it depends, you know, maybe if we've really got very proficient at it, we can go straight in. Fantastic, if that's your experience. But for most of us, we need to limber up. We need to warm up the mental muscles, get just rev the different things going so that we can then really take off in our meditation. And the context that we do this in is the preparatory prayers or prayers for meditation. You know, at the end, if you've been following, at the end of each session so far in the course, we have engaged in the prayers for meditation. And you can find these in the appendix, for example, of the New Eight Steps to Happiness, and indeed of most of Venu Mogesh's books, such as How to Transform Your Life, which you can download as a free ebook to your device, to your computer, howtotyl.com. And in all of those books, it has prayers for meditation at the end. So maybe, actually, I should say, maybe for some of us, even the word prayer, we go, ooh. You know, some people have a bit allergic to prayers. And maybe if we're a bit skeptical or cynical, it's just lots of words. I don't want to say lots of words. Honestly, it's not just words. It's like a really sophisticated sequence of micro meditations that with a basic understanding, we'll get our mind ready for a much deeper meditation than we otherwise would have had. And with a bit more experience, will really allow us to reach states of being we otherwise wouldn't have imagined ourselves achieving. You know, maybe, for example, we're interested in meditation and we'd like to meditate and we have an interest in improving our mind and we want to be calmer and kinder, more patient, more forgiving. We want to have a greater inner joy within us. But possibly we've put quite a severe cap on what we imagine we can achieve in those directions. Maybe, yeah, I can imagine that with meditation I'll get a bit kinder, a bit calmer, a bit more patient, a bit less stressed. What we're actually capable of is so much greater than that. I mean, literally, we're capable of becoming Buddha. We're capable of just this most extraordinary peace of being a rock for everyone around us, you know, so that we sustain all the people in our life with our calm, with our peace. We are capable, and engaging in these prayers and meditations, I think it opens our mind to our potential. It's so uplifting. It's so inspiring. So let me read on a little bit. So Venerable Geshe has given this analogy of the farmer who's weeding and fertilizing and watering his field. And now he's going to explain what that means in the context for preparing for meditation. So he says, the preliminary practices perform three functions. They purify our mind of negativity, they accumulate merit, good fortune or good luck, and they help us to receive the blessings of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Purifying our mind is like removing rocks and weeds from a field before sowing the seeds. At the moment, our mind is polluted by the imprints of negative thoughts and potentials left by the non-virtuous actions we have performed in the past. Until we remove this negativity from our mind, through the practice of purification, it will obstruct the growth of virtuous qualities and our meditation will not produce results. So like a field that's full of rocks and weeds, wherein it's difficult to grow a harvest of crops, our mind has a lot of baggage from painful and negative, angry, resentful, you know, different thoughts that we've had arising that have stained and a little bit polluted our mind. And we can get rid of all of that. We can have, as Nagarjuna said, we can have a mind as pure as the stainless moon. We can have a mind that there's no damage in it. You know, like, you know, even on a basic level, like such an important part of the Buddhist faith, the Buddhist practice, spiritual practice, is developing love, developing affection, opening our heart to others, seeing others in the best light. And maybe we've got a whole bunch of scars and wounds on our heart that make that really difficult for us, where we feel we have been betrayed, our trust has been abused. And so there's a real hesitancy because of that damage from the past. There's a real hesitancy to trust, to allow ourselves to see the better side of others, to believe in others' good nature. There's a resistance. We can be free from all of that. We can deal with all of that, heal all of that. So wonderful.